It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we are going to talk about things like emergency and evacuation planning and being prepared for any types of disasters. Our guests in studio today are Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley and Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Dory Beetz. It's great to see you both in studio here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, BJ.
I'll pose my first question to OES Coordinator Dory Beetz. You know, can you explain a little bit just about emergency alert systems and things people need to keep in mind?
Yeah, so the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services and our emergency services ordinance and through California government code, we are responsible for issuing alert and warnings within Tuolumne County in concert with the sheriff's office and other stakeholders. And we want to make sure that we are creating an emergency alert system that reaches everyone possible prior to an event or during an event. Currently, right now, we use our Everbridge Alert Notification System, but we do look at other potential layers for emergency alert. So we are required by law to provide some alert and warning and have training and testing and coordination of those alert and warnings within Tuolumne County.
Then the alerts and warnings, did they work right during the Washington fire or how you planned?
They worked well. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. It is a computer software program. Both our office and the sheriff's office are working to improve our training, our accessibility. The program itself is changing, allowing more capabilities. So we are spending time focusing on those personnel, what we call alert originators, who can put messages in there, creating template so that we have a smoother transition. For some of the public who commented after, they were frustrated with the length and time or the fact that they didn't get notification, which is why it's really important for all of our residents, our visitors, anyone that'll be in Tuolumne County to sign up and make sure they are signed up correctly in our system so that we can alert them as needed.
So just because you have a cell phone, you're not automatically enrolled to get alerts for evacs and that type of thing?
No. So through Everbridge, they buy cell phone numbers, and we have access to that in our program. But we really ask folks to go in and opt in and make sure they have the correct information and cell or landline or email so that we can notify you multiple ways.
Are there guidelines that local jurisdictions have to follow when it comes to putting out alerts?
Yes, absolutely. There is an alert and warning guidelines that the state of California under Cal OES. It was last updated in 2019. They are currently revising that. There are certain requirements that we have to follow with respect to a plan and making sure the software is something through IPAWS, the integrated public alert and warning system throughout the nation, as well as WEA, which is the wireless emergency alerts notification system. And so we have to follow those guidelines and making sure that we have a plan. We are involving the public in the testing of the plan. And we also have training for those individuals who are originating the alerts through any system.
And Sheriff Pooley, you use the Everbridge system. Can you explain a little bit about how that works?
So the Everbridge system is a reverse 911 system. So we can send out messages to emails, cell phones, text messages, and things like that. But as Dory said earlier, we really need you to opt in. And you can opt in by going to the county website, going to Office of Emergency Services, clicking on Everbridge, and it's very simple to sign up. That way we have all your personal information, and we also have how you would like to be contacted, your personal preference. So if you'd rather have a call to your landline or your cell phone, you can adjust accordingly. So that is very important. And every meeting I go to, I always ask who's signed up. The most important thing you can do is sign up so we can get you the information. Our job through OES and through the Sheriff's Office is to put the information out. Your job as a community is to respond and get the information. Because if we're not both working together, the community and the sheriff and OES, if we're not working together, we're not communicating. So it's very important for folks to know where to go and get that information.
And Dory, anything else to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we do, as the sheriff said, we have a link on our webpage. You can also, on your mobile phone, search for Everbridge in your apps. Type in Tuolumne County Emergency Alert, and it will go directly, and you can sign up through your mobile app that way.
Probably an easy thing to sign up for people who are at their house most of the time. What about for people who may, say, work down in Sonora, live up the hill, maybe have kids in school at a different location? Is there ways they can sign, like, multiple alerts?
Yeah, as the sheriff indicated, you can register your landline, you can register your cell phone, you can register your work office number, you can register an email. There's multiple ways. I will say that when you do get an alert, it is very important for you to respond to that alert. Oftentimes, our office and dispatch get complaints after we test or even after an event. Why do you guys keep calling us 5 or 6 times? If you do not respond, yes, you've received the message. It will continue to roll through all of those lines that you opted in for until it gets a response. So it's really important to message that to the public, that you need to respond if you receive that alert.
That's good to know. So if, like, a wife or husband happens to get the alert and you hear it again, it's not, oh, there's a new update. That's definitely for sure,
yes,
coming
correct.
Through. So make sure you answer that. Good to know. Anything else in regards to this alert system, Sheriff Pooley, you want to add?
We are looking at a new system. It's called FM Alert. It's essentially a device that's about the size of a large cell phone. It can be plugged in. It can be left on your nightstand. It also has a battery, so you can unplug it and take it with you. So for those of you that are out there listening in your car, you look at your radio in your car, you see that little ticker that goes across. It says either the radio station or what song is playing. That is a little bit of bandwidth that we want to use to put out an FM alert system. We had a study done by the FM alert, the company itself. It will reach up to 80 to 90% of our community. I'm pretty jazzed about it, but it is expensive to put in. But if we're able to get this up and going, it gives you a visual alert, so a flashing light. It'll give you an audible alarm. Plus, there's a text, so we can type in. So we can talk to you. We can notify all the hearing impaired, sight impaired folks, and we can give updates through that. So let's say we send out an evacuation alert, you unplug that, you stick it in your pocket, and now you're getting alerts as you're going. And we're constantly upgrading the alerts. It could be, hey, the fire's moved, we need to take an alternate route. And at the end, when we give the all clear, you can get it immediately. It's all clear, you can return home. It's a pretty unique system. It started on the East Coast with hurricane warnings. And because, as you said earlier, some of the towers can either be burnt over or lose power, the FM system seems to be a really good alternative. Now, again, this is just one layer of many that we need to put into place. So we are looking at that. We're studying that. We've reached out to a neighboring county to see if maybe we can partner to reduce costs. But hopefully, I'm hoping by next fire season we can have this up and at least going.
And Dory Beats, how about, you know, sirens? We've heard a little bit about the county starting to roll out, you know, potential for sirens in different areas.
Yeah, so again, that is another layer. And a lot of counties in California have either chosen not to pursue sirens or have sirens. Tuolumne County, we do have some existing sirens, or what we would consider outdoor audible alerts, as the formal name is listed. We are currently working our Fire Safety Advisory Committee and their Emergency Planning Group, which consists of the sheriff and fire chiefs and board supervisor, as well as public representatives. We we understand that the public wants more information. And I think that's one, both the Office of Emergency Service and the Sheriff's Office, we understand that. And this is why we're looking at multiple layers in order to provide emergency alerts. So sirens is one of them. I am still finding out how many sirens already exist in Tuolumne County. For example, we have Tuolumne Fire District that has a siren, Twain Hart that has an old siren. We have Columbia that has a siren indicating lunchtime at 12 noon every day. Sierra Outdoor School, Blue Mountain Minerals. We have utility companies for FERC and dam failure have been looking at potential sirens to notify, you know, folks below that dam in case there was a failure. And we have communities that are very interested in, fact, several communities that have already installed sirens that they want to be used during a wildfire. So both the OES and Sheriff are working with our fire safety advisory. We will need to do a policy plan protocol that includes sirens or outdoor audible alerts because our concern is security. It is the sound itself needs to be consistent throughout the county and the message needs to be consistent. Whether you are in Pine Mountain Lake or you're here in Sonora or you're in Twain Hart or you're at Strawberry and Pinecrest, the one siren needs to mean the same thing. And so we will be visiting this discussion hopefully on November 2nd. The Board of Supervisors, we have an agenda item at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we welcome the public's input into what we potentially hope to be another layer within our community.
Sheriff Pooley, anything else you'd like to add about sirens?
Sirens are a unique animal. As Dory said, how do we make them all mean the same thing? If you're on the coast and the siren goes off, it means a tsunami. It means run uphill, essentially. In Tennessee, if a siren goes off, it's typically a tornado. So we need to be consistent so that everybody knows the message. The tones need to be the same. This last year, the state authorized the use of the high-low or the BDU siren as an evacuation warning. As a result, our patrol cars now, we're programming that tone into our patrol cars. So if need be, we could actually drive down the street and set off that siren. But I don't think the community really knows what all that means. So over this next winter season, I think we're going to really try to lock down and get a consistent message. This is what it means. This is how it's activated. This is who can activate it. And really set some parameters in so that we can educate the public as to what it really means. So then when we do activate a siren, Lord forbid, everybody knows what to do and what the right steps to take are.
Need to take one or take a break. We're talking with emergency services and talking about emergencies and evacuations and all different things when it comes to law enforcement on this weekend's Motherload Views, joined by Sheriff Bill Pooley and Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Dory Beats. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.